If I was to do a solo, everybody would be saying, oh, me.
Amen. You know, we're just here today with God's people. As long as God's people is present, God's present also. And I thank Him for that. You know, he don't have to make his self known present to no one, but I sure am glad he does. I sure am glad he does. Because I tell you, it's a joy just to serve him. It's a joy just to call him my father, my daddy, my papa, because that's who he is to me. He's all the above. You know, I know he's our heavenly father, but I believe when, at least it was for me, when I wanted to be personal in my life, and I wanted to have a personal relationship with him, then that's when I started calling him daddy. Papa. You know, it's something about the name. It's something about that name, daddy and papa. It's been right at 54 years maybe 55, 56 since I've even had an opportunity to really look at my earthly father. But you know, the only hope that I have is that when that elevator was coming down, when the shaft broke, cable broke, the only thing I had to look forward to was that he did call upon God. You can call upon God a split second just like that. We don't, you know, some people say, well, I don't believe it. You know, you can call on God like that and he'd save you. I do. Because I believe that we serve a just God. And we know in the Word of God, it also tells us that we need to pray for one another. Not only that, we need to love one another. But here in Galatians chapter 5 this morning, Galatians chapter 5, 3 verses of scripture I want to use here, and then I'm going to turn over to the book of Timothy, the second book of Timothy. But it says right here, let's go to the book of Timothy first. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, I love it when I hear pages turn. But it says right here, the second epistle of Paul, the apostle to Timothy. You see right here in verse 6, well, verse 5, when I call to remember the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Over here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 26, verse 22 and verse 23, excuse me. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace, long-suffering. No. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great and marvelous day. Father, where you have allowed us to be able to open our eyes this morning, and Father, have the desire to be in thy house. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you will just take thy words, Father, and drop it upon my lips that I may speak your words. The Father, that we can all be stirred today. The Father, we can all be able to just rejoice and proclaim that thy word can live within our hearts and our souls today. Father, we just ask now that you just be with us this morning. Father, as we try to bring the message, Father, that you've laid up in our heart, bless each and every one that's made thy known by thyself presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, we see where we have prayer. I think prayer in a Christian's life is the most important thing that we have. And there is power in prayer. I've been trying to rack my brain out about the name of the book that that back here in the early 2000s that they were selling, and that book was going about and it was talking about prayer. Maybe some of you know the name of it. I can't think of it right now, but that book was speaking of prayer. That book not only was speaking about prayer, but it was speaking about God's love toward us. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, you know, when I started reading that verse, what did I say? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Long-suffering, peace, and all that. But that's not where he started. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. love. That's what I believe God the Father is trying to teach us all through the Word of God, is about the true love that He has. And the true love that He has for us, that where we can go out and love other individuals. You say, well, preacher, says, I know some people have done me wrong, and I just can't get myself to the point of loving them. We have to realize that what the people has done is the sin that we should not love. But the individual, we need to love them. We need to show them that we do care for them. We need to show them that, yes, we want to be a friend of them. Jesus Christ was a friend to me when I wasn't a friend to His, but He was a friend to me. Because when He came and when He allowed the Holy Spirit to come and convict my heart of the sin that I had in my life, He loved me for that. He was loving my soul. He was loving me. But He did not love the sin that I was committing at the time. Neither does He today. He does not love the sin, yes, that I may commit today. And yes, in Romans, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. Eternal, the gift of God. So when I really got a hold of prayer and really got down to business and knowing what prayer really means, then I could understand His love. Not only could I understand His love, but I could understand His peace also. And I could understand the joy that He had for me, and the long suffering and the meekness that He had for me as an individual. Now I know that each, probably all of us, like some type of fruit. Now this time of year, I love watermelon. I love cantaloupe. And I will say, if somebody will take a good-sized watermelon, if it's cold enough, they take it and they'll cut it. And if they get it all out, I'll eat the whole watermelon. Because that's how much I love it. Because I don't have it all year long. I don't have it but just a certain time of the year. Why do I love it? Because it tastes good. And it's cold. It should not flatter us to the point that that's the only thing that I have to eat. I love cantaloupe. I love all the vegetables. I mean, I do love vegetables. I don't eat them as often as I should. But now apples, now I like apples. I like them when they're cold. I don't like them when they're warm or hot, But we're speaking about not that type of fruit today. We're not speaking about the fruit of the watermelon or the fruit of the cantaloupe or the fruit of the grapes. But we're talking about the fruit that God Almighty can give each one of us. And we have the fruit. The fruit is embedded within us spiritually. But we have to go to the Lord in prayer and maintain our life to experience the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Is love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commandeth what? His love toward us. God commanded what? His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me when I was at my very worst. He loved me when I was out here, when I was lost and undone and everything. When I was out here and I was drinking and doing some of the things that way. I mean, He loved me when I done that. But He did not love the sin that I was committing, but He loved my soul enough that He would allow His Son, Jesus Christ, to split the eastern sky there and come down from glory and be birthed into a virgin maiden, or a virgin lady that day, and where He would become firstborn. He would become the born, the one, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the glory of glory. I mean, He was it. He was all I needed. I didn't need nothing else. Oh yeah, I wanted this. I wanted a better job, making $500-$600 a week or something like that. I wanted a new car, a new pickup. I wanted them things. But see, He didn't. He knew what my being needed. And my being needed love. And He showed His love through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He came. When He walked on this earth and when He went about teaching and preaching the gospel, and when He was going about and they was ministering unto Him and everything, and then He was going out and telling people about this and that, and He was going... I got to bring it back up. Somebody said to me, I don't know, in the last week or two, said, well, you know, Jesus never got angry. Well, if that's the case, then where did we get it from? Yes, He got angry. He got angry, why? Because people done Him wrong back then. He got angry and He would go in and turn the tables over. Why? Because they was gambling. They was casting lots. What? For the coats of the people. He just did not come in and say, well, I'm sorry. Y'all just keep on going and doing what you're doing. I got to turn this table over. And I'll pick the table up, lay the table, and didn't even make a note. You think He done it? No. He didn't do it that way. No. He went in and He turned it over. He was angry, but He did not sin. That's where I believe we get that from. Be angry and sin not. We can be angry at what the devil does to each one of us. We can be angry to the point that the devil wants to use us to further his gospel. Yes, to further what gospel? His gospel. Because the devil has a gospel too. It's his gospel though. He's going out and spreading his good times. He's spreading all of his joy out here. He's spreading it all around. We have it on the highways today, billboard signs, and everywhere. Building it all up. For who? For Him. And He done sucked us all in to it. He done got us all to the point that, hey, yes, I go to church Sunday morning. Yeah, I go to church. The devil said, well, you all right, man. Hey, We must try the Spirit. We must try the Spirit. We must try the Spirit to see which Spirit is speaking to us. If it's the spirit of the devil or it's the Spirit of God, we've got to try the Spirit. Because the devil can speak to us, can speak to me in a way that I think it's God speaking to me. But it says, over, what does it say in the book of Proverbs? Where there is no vision, what, the people will perish? I believe that right there. We can take that and we can wove it into the scripture right there. Because Satan will try his very best to destroy us. Satan has tried his very best to destroy Faith Baptist Church. Satan has tried his very best to destroy the King James Bible. He's done all of that. What is he doing today? He said, well, it's okay. I mean, you know, this right, it's a new King James Bible. Yeah, it's a new King James. But even though in the New King James, it's still leaving out doctrine. It's still changing some words, whether it's speaking about Christ, speaking about the deity, speaking about the fulfillment of His coming. It takes it out. So we must not go by what other people are saying and what other people want us to do. But we must come back to the one word, love. No man has ever told me that they truly love me enough that they would be willing to go out here and take that pine tree out here or take one of them, one of them trees out front right here. Cut all the limbs off of it and just put another board up and put a cross on it, and they go and die for me. There will never be another death as that one. Never will be. Never has been, and it won't be. He is the only one that will die that cruel death. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. Are you happy this morning? I am. I'm as happy as if I had good sense. But I don't have good sense. I'm crazy. I mean, they tell me all the time I'm crazy. Why? Because I believe in this book. Why? Because I come to church on Sunday morning. Why? Because I come back on Sunday night. Why? Because I'll come back on Wednesday night. Why? Because I'll come out to the eatings at the church. Why? Because I'll go to all the revival meetings the church has. Why? Because I love God. That's the reason why. It's a different type of His love. I can't explain His love. Only thing I can tell you is He just loves me. Only thing I can tell you is He loves you. He loves you more than your mother. He loves you more than your father. He loves you more than your brother or your sister or anybody else. He loves you more than that. Why? Because He went to the cross to give us His love and to give us His joy. And that joy of what? Is unspeakable and full of glory. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul saying it doesn't make no difference where I'm at, what I'm doing. As long as I'm doing it for the Lord, I want to be content with what I'm doing. We need to be content in what God speaks to our hearts about. You know, God has spoke to my heart about some things here at Faith Baptist Church. But why did He? Because of the vision. When y'all got down so low, did you have a vision just to say, well, there's no need no more? Just us little few. No, you can do that. Every time me and Brother Bill go out, we go out visiting or whatever, he's always talking about. He believes the church is going to come back. Why does he believe that? Because he knows God. See, what God done in the past, God can also do in the present. And not only will God do in the present, but God can also do in the future. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ, which leaves me. Which is not around me anymore. No. Which strengthens me. He strengthens each and every one of us. And why does He strengthen us? Why does He give us that strength? Why does He give us the ability of love and joy and strengthen us with that? So we might can go out here and invite somebody to church or be able to witness to them and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we think we just got saved just to sit here and sit on a pew and do nothing, then something's wrong. Then what we need to do, we need to just close the doors, lock them, and say, Lord, I'm going home. And He's going to take us on home. If we ain't going to do nothing for Him, what are we going to do? He's going to take us home. Are you ready to go home? I'm not. I'm ready. But I don't want to go right yet. He's got some other things He wants me to do. I got some unsaved a family. I'm praying that they get saved. They've told me not to come and talk to them no more about the Lord, so I can't, you know, they don't want me to come and talk to them, but I do talk to the Lord about them. But we all have loved ones that we want to see saved. Don't we? If all your loved ones are saved, praise God. Have you got any friends that's lost? Then you need to do what we can to win them to the Lord. It's always somebody out there that's lost that we need to be a part of their life and let them know that we do care for them and we do love them. No, we don't love them like the Lord does. I can't love them like that. Because even though if I went out here and if I said I'd give up my life for them, If I went out here and something happened, and if somebody took me and they murdered me or something because I went out and was telling someone about the Lord, even with that in mind, still wouldn't even comprehend one little thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever done. I don't know about you, but I can take right now, this Sunday, the 21st, I think. I can take this Sunday, and I can take this Sunday, and I can go to Sunday, the 21st of June, in 2030. And if the Lord allowed me to live that long upon the face of this earth, if I started right now thanking Him for everything He's done for me, all His blessings upon my life, I wouldn't even touch the hem of His garment. I could. Why? Because He's blessed me so much. Hey, nothing else. I ain't going to hell, hallelujah. I mean, praise God, if you ain't going to hell, that's something to shout about. I mean, that'll make a good old a Baptist Costal shout. I mean, really. But we need to realize that first of all, it's love, joy, and then it's peace. Peace. You know, the only kind of peace that we ever hear about anymore is talk about the peace that these nations over here, all these wars and everything going on. Peace between Russia and Ukraine and peace between Iran and Iraq, and the peace between the Palestinians and Israel, and the peace one another, peace between the United States. Here in the United States, we need to have peace within the own house of God. We need to have the Prince of Peace right here, every service. And if we don't have the Prince of Peace, if the Prince of Peace don't show up, it's because somebody has an ill feeling and brought that into the service. I say when we come to the house of God, before we come through the doors and step our foot in the sanctuary here, we need to make sure that everything is okay between me and God. Because if you're saved, you cannot come in and worship God if you're not saved. The only way you can worship God is if you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it took more than just Him hanging there on the cross to bring about peace to individuals. It took more than just Him dying on the cross and being buried in a borrowed tomb. It took more than that. It took more than Him in the grave. It took more than that. But we need to think about when He was hanging on the cross, His mother and His earthly father was looking at Him. And His other family members, His brothers, they was there. when he was hanging on the cross. And his Father was in heaven. He didn't open up the portals of glory there. And he was looking down on his only begotten Son. And the word begotten means that God the Father had one Son and one Son only. He didn't have many sons. He didn't have no brother. He had one Son and one Son only. And his Son Jesus Christ, he had a heavenly Father, but had no earthly mother. I mean, didn't have no heavenly mother. But he had an earthly mother. But he did not have no earthly father. Yes, he had a stepfather that we call today. But here was the heavenly Father, there in heaven, looking down on his Son. And watching the fulfillment that first started back there in the Garden of Eden. Where it started. He looked down and seen his Son. Can you imagine? I know God knew everything. God knows everything. God is everywhere. I know that. But even though I believe, God being God, God being God, I still believe that he was mourning for his Son. Because he knew what his Son was going to have to do. He knew his Son was going to have to turn away from the bitter cup. He knew his Son was going to have to hang there. He knew his Son was going to take on the sin of all humanity. And his Father knew that he could not look down upon the sin that was going to be upon his Son's shoulder. That's the reason that you had. That's the reason darkness came. Because God the Father is the light. He is the true light. He could not look upon his Son. Because his Son bore our sins. So it was my fault. It was my sin that caused the Father to turn his back on his only Son. It was the sin of mankind that caused his Father to turn his back. And yet today, so many times, he will just ask us to do a little something for him. Sometimes I won't do it. Why won't I? Some of it may be pride. I don't know. But I do know one thing. Like it says over in the book of Timothy, where I read it. It says, stir up the gift of God. I believe that the gift of God, where He has given each one of us today to cherish, to look upon, that we must pray a prayer and asking God to take that stick or whatever you want to call it, that where they used to churn butter, take it to our heart and churn our heart, that it may stir up the fruit of the Spirit in us. It may stir us up to the point that we will, yes, we will love our enemies. We will love the ones that despitefully use us. Yes, and we'll love the ones that hates us. Did you realize that you've got people on your street that hates you? Did you realize that there are people out here that you're going to come in contact today that hates you? Why? Because of what you stand on. They hate you. Oh, they don't come out and tell you. But they do. They do. They do. You know something? They tell me they hate me all day long. Feel sure that I love it. Why? Because I know that I got God in heaven that loved me one day. Was it one day that was me? That was me when I didn't want the preacher to come to my house. When I didn't want nobody from the church to come to my house. I didn't want to come to my house. I didn't want it to bother me because I'd be out there in the backyard and I'd be planting a garden or something. I didn't want them, but I say I didn't want them for what it is. I just didn't like what they were bringing. Now, we do have some that come by the house and they would, you know, give us a little book and everything, a little pamphlet and everything, and want them, you know. I don't hate them. I love them. I'd like to see them get saved. That's the Jehovah Witness, Danny Rose. I mean, they come to my house. I mean, and my wife, she hates it every time they come. Because she knows that I'm going to go out there and talk to them. And I will. I'll go out there. They say, well, can I have 10 minutes of your time? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You can. I says, now. And after I give them the 10 minutes, then they say, well, my time is going and everything. Says, appreciate your time and everything. I said, well, I give you 10 minutes of my time. Can you do the same thing? Can you let me speak to you for 10 minutes? It'd be an hour, and I'd still be talking. I'd still be talking to them about Jesus, talking to them about the Holy Spirit, and they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They don't know anything at all about Jesus. They talk about just Jehovah. Jehovah. I said, I believe in Jehovah. I sure do. I said, but one thing about with me, and what my Bible teaches me is, I can't fellowship with just Jehovah. I got a fellowship with the Son, and I got a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because they're three in one. They says, what are you talking about, three in one? It don't say anything in the world about that in the Bible. I said, it don't. I says, it's all through that. It speaks of God the Father. It speaks of God the Son. Then it speaks of God the Holy Spirit. What about baptism?
When an individual gets saved, you take them, and what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to come and be baptized if you're saved. And what do? You baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I says, it's no way anybody's going to ever get to heaven with just Jehovah. I said, if I'm wrong about all of that, I'm going to have to give God an answer for it. He's going to question me about it if I'm wrong. I said, but you know something? I don't think I'm wrong. But if I am, what you do between also you and God. We all are going to stand before God one day. And we're going to give an account of everything that we've ever done. For me, I know I'm saved. I know right now if somebody was to come by and shoot me right now and I was to die, I know where I'd be at. I'd be right there straight in heaven. She said, no, you don't know that. I said, well, wait a minute, ma'am. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And I said, the reason I know that is because I was present. You was the thing when I got saved. But I was. Everybody stand, head bowed, eyes closed. No singing, just the quietness of the church. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, your peace, your joy, your long-suffering, your meekness, your temperance. Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, yes, we know about the fruit of the land. But Father, you are speaking about the fruit of the believer. In doing exactly what you would have us to do. Father, help us, Lord, that we may love one another. We may love the people that we come in contact with. And Father, that we may have the peace and the joy that only you can give. And Father, we are asking, Lord Jesus, that you may stir up the Spirit that is in us. That Father, that we will leave the sanctuary not the same as we entered in. Father, we can be stirred, and God, we can be energized, Father, where we want to be back in your house tonight. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Father, that you would just be with this dear church. Oh God, be with faith. Lord Jesus, we ask now that if it's anyone in this church, Father, that needs to come to the altar to pray for someone that's lost, or even just to come and pray for the church, or just come and just want to just talk to your Father. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you will grant them permission. Father, it's a privilege where we can talk to you. Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody want to come to the altar and come pray? All hearts clear then. You really need to pray. Don't never hesitate. Come dead at all. I mean, anytime. Don't make me know if I just got up and started reading scripture. The Spirit of God speaks to your heart about praying for something or about something. You don't have to wait. The altar is always up. All hearts clear. Brother Bill, would you just